seriously, guys, huge thanks for coming here. I was, guys are like, some of the guys in like our little crew were like, hey, word is that you're nervous, that you're peeing your pants. I go, nah, I'm shitting my pants. So first thing that we got to crank, guys, is what I wanted to do was to get this started was approach this the same way that I approach and my team approaches how all our athletes get involved at the Underground Strength Gym or Underground Strength Club. And what we did is we came up with a code of honor that basically allows you to know if you're doing the right thing. And I'm going to take you guys through the many ups and downs that I've gone through, which have been some real intense times. And I'm going to tell you now that without Paulie, without TC, we got Coach Megs here, my team at the Underground, without you guys, seriously, I could have, you know, not been here. I could have continued to just be kind of that part-time coach, training people out of my garage, not really stepping it up. But everybody in this room, all the speakers really inspire me. And the speakers that are here, guys, they are strategically here. These are the heavy hitters. These are the people that motivate me, that inspire me, that I know are going to blow your mind with training, with mindset, with marketing, business strategies. These 2 days will be a life changer, but you have to allow it to happen. And that means you will be uncomfortable. And if you read my emails, that's something I always talk about. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. So we are going to push you. I'm going to have you doing basically like actionable steps, making you really dig deep to figure out if you're doing the right thing, if you're living the code. So these four things that really stick home with me are honesty to myself, honesty to you guys. And that's why I'm going to tell you the ups and downs. Integrity. That means when nobody's looking, you're doing the right thing. Okay? You're not fake. What the fuck is that noise? Commitment. Commitment to yourself. To be, you always hear it, be great, be fucking awesome. That's true. You got to be committed to it. And that's going to be scary. And you're going to learn to get comfortable doing that. And commitment to the team. And that's one thing that's huge. I'm going to emphasize that during my presentation now. And I'll be doing a little bit of the Q&A stuff today and tomorrow. But for the most part, it'll be the speakers, but I'll be there. But as soon as I started getting that team aspect involved, everything in my life, business, relationship, personal, friendship, family, fucking skyrocketed 10 times, 20 times, huge. And I really learned it from TC and Paulie calling me out as a good friend does. A good friend will tell you the truth. Tell me that I wasn't being team player, too much me. And that's something that I'm going to push you guys to look at. Because when you start focusing on creation and contribution, you will grow. Like, your mission will grow. And every speaker that's here has that mission. So you're going to get it from me. You're going to get it from all of them. And you're also going to get it from even some of the speakers. Tomorrow when we have, like, our Q&A, our expert panels, there are some of these people you've likely never heard of, but they're crushing it silently. They're just fucking bad dudes. And we have two Navy SEALs here and former British Special Forces. So anybody fucks around, you know what I'm saying. Work ethic. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you about anything, but I used to watch that movie, The Secret, over and over. I memorized it. I had the audio CD, and everything was about just like believe and think about it. And in a nutshell, it was like, yeah, fucking sit under a tree and fucking dream up a Porsche, and that shit's going to happen. I'm going to tell you straight up, you guys are going to have to work. You're going to have to wake up early. You're going to have to stay up late. Last night I slept 2 hours. I don't fucking care. You know, when I sleep like a little bit, I'm like, Quattro Deuce fucking doesn't sleep. I need to toughen up. I can't be sleeping this 6 hours fucking making me look like a wuss. So when he texted me last night, it was like, what time was it, 12:30? Was it 1? He's like, get some rest. I'm like, look at this guy. He's a pussy. Going to sleep at fucking 1 a.m. I'm going to crank some work. Quattro douche, you know I don't mean that, bro. Work ethic. You guys got to commit to that underground code of honor right now. If that's not with you in your heart, then this is the wrong place to be. Okay? If you don't think that's for you, then seriously, go to TC, go to Paula, just be like, dude, I don't think this is for me, and we'll give you your money back. What's most important to me is that I tell you the truth and that whatever path you take allows you to create not just success for yourself, but you got to give whoever the people you're working with, you got to give them your all. You got to give them everything. I always say on a scale of 1 to 10, you're 20. Does that make sense? Are you guys with that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's fucking do this. All right. All right. So why the fuck should you listen to me? Some people might know the story, but a lot of you know kind of what's front stage, right? You're seeing like the play or whatever, a show, but you don't see what goes on backstage. My success is not just me. I mentioned before, it's huge thanks to the speakers. They inspire me. I learn from them. It's because of my wife and kids. It's because of Paulie, TC, Megs. I did not, you know, get to this success alone. But 10 years ago, when I started down this path to say, you know what, I'm going to commit to being a, I think back then it was personal trainer, what was it called, strength coach. 10 years ago, I did not start with nothing. I started with negative. And I was a fifth-year teacher. And that I remember the debt was somewhere around $24,000, $25,000, $26,000. And I remember saying to myself, fuck, I think I'm going to live with debt forever. Like, how do you pay off $26,000, $25,000 in debt? I thought I was going to live with it forever. And then I was like, well, if I fucking die and I still got debt, like, then what? Like, what happens? And I remember I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, what do they do to those, like, movie stars and shit when they die and they have debt? I was trying to really fucking figure it out to see if I could make it happen. So what I started to do, what I knew how to do, was to take action. Okay? I learned how to take action. Even if it was the wrong stuff, I knew that at least I had to move. And TC, by the way, you tell me when I'm done. When am I done? What time is my thing done? I think 10, 15 or some shit. All right. You don't even know. He'll give me a 5. So I started training people out of my parents' house. I had a couple pieces of equipment that I had picked up from like Sears. Back then, eBay was like in its infancy. I was buying shit off of classified ads. I was going to like the inner city in Jersey for guys that had like shut down their gyms. And I was picking up stuff for pennies on the dollar to train guys out of the house. Which, if anybody has run a business out of the house, you know that shit's illegal. So I never told my dad that. And I remember one time he heard that. And I knew. I didn't have insurance. I wasn't incorporated. I was none of that. But I was like, I got to commit to this. I had failed so many fucking times before that I had nothing to lose. So I was just going to move forward. And I said, I'm going to charge $5 an hour because the gym in town, it's $5 an hour to train. It's $5 for the day to train. So I said, you can't like argue with me there. I'm no more expensive than that gym. I was training guys out of the garage. The kid, he's now a coach at the gym, he would deadlift with his head poking forward because his fucking head would graze the garage door. I couldn't even have anybody do overhead work. We had to go outside. I was training in backyards. I was training in like the shittiest playgrounds you could imagine, so no park rangers would be around. I was like, I'll be damned if I'm going to get kicked out or arrested. I'm just going to go to these shitty fucking parks. And I remember training guys at these playgrounds with, like, they'd be, like, teenagers, like, making out, smoking cigarettes, smoking pot. They're over there. We're over here, like, fucking cleaning, pressing rocks with worms on it. They're following me on my bike. They're, like, running behind me. It was like a whack pack. But I was on that mission, and I was taking those actionable steps to move towards something. I took action. I wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do. In fact, I knew a lot of it was wrong. But I knew that the most important thing was right up here. I just had to believe in my mission. And I started getting people to believe in it with me because they saw that I fucking believed. They didn't see somebody who was unsure. They saw a guy who was fired up, who wanted to teach them, who wanted to help them. And when people see that, they want to be around you. They want to be connected with you. If you don't have that here, okay, you're lying to yourself. You got to find that spot where you have that fire. And I started finding that spot. I did this for years in the trenches, day after day, letting these, you know, letting my athletes pick the times they want to come. Come train on a Sunday after church. Come meet me on a Friday evening. Come meet me at dinner time. I fucking did it. I started at $5 an hour, and I remember in the summertime, I was like, this $5 an hour shit sucks. I'm like, I'm going to $15 an hour, motherfuckers. And I remember the kid comes to me, how much is it training with you? $15 an hour. He's like, all right. I'm like, that's right, motherfucker. in my head. I remember in the backyard, I had a pull-up dip tower, and I bought a tarp to cover it to try to, like, protect it from the rain or, you know, make it look somewhat nice. The tarp was, like, half the size. It looked like shit. And I remember my dad was, like, every other day, he's like, when are you going to get rid of that? Like, what are you actually going to do with that? I'm like, we're using it. And I made sure that we were using it. Today, many of you see the gym that we own. You see it on YouTube. It's about a mile down the street from here. And between the gym and all the online stuff, and I guess, you know, we call it multiple streams of income, now the business is a multiple six-figure business. Nobody told me I could do it. Everybody fucking laughed at me. Even family. I remember a lot of people talking behind my back. I always tell my mother-in-law, when she's like, yeah, I tell everybody about you. I always brag about you. I go, but you remember that time you guys laughed at me for saying he's going to sell workouts on the computer? They're like, we didn't laugh. I'm like, you guys are fucking laughing and you know it. So I always throw it in their face. I had the cards stacked against me. My family thought I was crazy. You know, most people would have quit. I was like, fuck that. I believe that this could happen. The big jump in the business came with the team. With the team. One thing that I learned. Fifth year, I'm a teacher. I transferred to the middle school. I had done 4 years at the elementary school. Every year that I was there, except for the first year, I was getting nominated for Teacher of the Year. Teacher of the Year. I started getting this God complex saying, I'm so fucking awesome. I, like, changed that entire community in that elementary school. Now it's time to conquer the next level. I'm going to go to the middle school. I had been into the middle school. I was coaching wrestling there. Every time I went in, the kids seemed like they weren't having fun. The teachers had no passion. I'm like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to fucking change this world. I'm going to turn this shit upside down. I was in grad school at the time. My goals were to be kind of like this personal trainer on the side and become a college professor. First 2 weeks I was there, I remember I was like, this is not really that great. I think I made a mistake. I think I should not have left. But I was kind of trying to, like, tough it out mentally. I was saying, just be mentally tough. It's going to get better. It only got worse. It got worse. The kids got worse. The administration sucked. The fucking school itself looked like I was walking through a prison. My health took a rapid decline. I remember I went to an in-service one day, and I was using all available in-services, and I was maxing out my sick days. I was like, this place fucking sucks so bad. I don't even want to be here. And I remember I got the report from the substitute teacher, and it says this. I have never met such unruly, rude, obnoxious kids. I felt like I was a prison guard during a prison outbreak. I was like, holy fuck, that is where I'm working. I'm working in a prison. And I created my own prison, and then I had to exist in it. At that time, I was trying to do as many things as I could to keep my mind off of it. This was in early 2000. MMA and jiu-jitsu and all that stuff was big. I started getting into something called shoot fighting. I was training in all the different styles, whatever they would teach, I would train. Being involved in a shitty thing just fucking crushed my health. I tore my ACL during training. And I remember being at that place, and I was like, look at me, I'm fucking falling apart. I'm drinking coffee like crazy. It's brutal to get out of bed every morning. I was living for Friday, and I hated Sundays. As Sunday creeped from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., in my head I was like, holy fuck, I'm going to the fucking prison. And that's my fault for moving away from my passion and my unique ability. And I remember handing the transfer sheet the week it came out, which is around Thanksgiving. And the principal says to me, he's like, you just got here. Why don't you hold on to that? I go, I've been thinking about this since my second week here. I go, I'm not in the right place. If you guys could transfer me back during winter break, I'll be cool with that. He's like, we can't do that. And I was like, fuck. Everything was a countdown. The months, the days, until a vacation was coming, until the end of the school year. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I took those maximum sick days. The one thing you guys could never do is move away from your passion. That was the big mistake. Had the God complex. If you deny your true passion and you think you're just going to chase the dollars, or you think that, or you've heard that boot camps are the way to go, or whatever it was back in the day, it was kickboxing and all this shit. If it's not in your heart, you won't kill it. You won't succeed. You will not dominate. And today, with so many coaches, you have to be fucking 20 on a scale of 1 to 10. If you're going to try to move away from your passion and deny it, you're dead. You won't succeed. I want you to write down right now, what do you think is your fucking passion, your unique ability? When you are in it, you are so fired up that you're like fucking Rambo in the last Rambo. Remember those kill scenes? Like fucking shooting dudes in the head. Brad's like, fuck yeah. By the way, you guys sit with a Navy SEAL and a Muay Thai expert. Okay, you're cool with that? All right. Write it down. Because you might be doing something today or these past few months or since you started that's not you. You might be training people for fat loss, and that ain't you. You might be training athletes, and you might hate training athletes. Write it down, and don't lie. Remember, we go back to our code of honor here. Honesty to yourself. When I started getting committed, and this reminds me about Quattro Deuce, because he spoke at one of our masterminds, the first mastermind. He has a mission. When you have a mission, it's in your blood. You live it, you breathe it, you bleed it. When I was going in to get my ACL repaired, I remember being on that surgery table, and I said, that's it. I had torn my shoulder. I had thrown out my back. I was on my second knee surgery. I was always getting hurt. And I said, that's it. As soon as I'm done with this surgery, I'm committed. I'm going to fucking help every wrestler on planet Earth avoid all the pain I went through. That's my mission. My mission then morphed into, as coaches started reaching out to me, help you guys avoid my pain. I had all those tough times with my wife, with my friends, with all types of relationships. And that was very dark times. And I seem to be in this mode, this mission, where everything is about helping a coach avoid pain or an athlete avoid pain. I don't want anybody to experience the shit I went through. And that's why I pour my heart out to you. I got that surgery, and I remember I was like, I'm fucking going home, and I'm going to start researching everything about training wrestlers. And I remember my dad telling me, and you could see the words on the back of this shirt, right? Something to prove, nothing to lose. This is Jim Wendler's shirt. I'll talk to you about him in a minute. But my dad, his encouraging words, I used to spend my days at the gym all summer long. I trained every fucking friend I had. Anybody who needed to get worked out, I'd train you. One person at a time. I'd be at the gym from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m., 10 p.m. I loved it. And I remember I'd come home late at night. He's like, where were you all day? I was like, I was training. I was training people. He's like, you get paid? I was like, no, I love doing this. I'll do it for free. He goes, you're a shitty businessman. And I remember that. I was like, damn, dude. And I remember I had this stigmatism where I couldn't like ask somebody to be paid for the service I gave them. Like it was a bad thing to make money. So I remember trying to apply my training, and I said, well, the right thing to do is I got to become a trainer at a place. Who knows the first place I applied to train at once I started getting committed? Does anybody know?
Spa lady.
Spa lady, baby. Spa lady. Holy shit. Gags is like, you fucking pussy. I went there, and I remember driving there being uncomfortable. I remember in my head, I get the goosebumps. I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I need to get a job. I'm not good enough to train at... Back then, there was no Workout World, Planet Fitness, none of that. It was, you know, Gold's Gym, World Gym, Powerhouse Gym. I was like, I'm not good enough to be training, you know, so I'm going to just go to the spa lady. I fill out the application. I leave, and ever since I fill out the application, I'm like walking around in my head everywhere I go. I remember it was summertime, and I'm like, oh, I get the goosebumps. I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. That's not me. That's fucking not me. I don't want to be fucking, you know, training people like nice and easy. And I remember I was at the beach, and the lady called me. And I can't remember. I think I told her that I found another job. And I remember she was telling me to make my business cards, put shit up on their bulletin board, all this stuff that was normal. It wasn't in my gut. It wasn't in my heart. And I remember when I told her that, she goes, she's like, really? After all that? She's like, you came here, you applied, you know, you did all this. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody else, you know, hired me. I said some shit like that. And I remember I shut off the cell phone, and I said to myself, fuck yeah. Now is the time to start saying fuck you to anybody or anything that stands in my way. Things that I was done with the pain. How many of you guys and ladies do stuff that you don't like to do? Don't lie. You all have shit in your life. Even I still have it. But I have a big list of fuck you. A list of people, a list of things that I won't do, a list of places I won't go to. And I started living that fucking code that moment. And I remember when I hung up that phone, I was like, yep, I'm in debt. I got no summer job. But I just said no to somebody. And that was the beginning of building the momentum. And I said, I'm not going to sell out. Being normal just freaked me the fuck out. This was me starting to come out of my shell. I had remembered all the shit that I lost, losing in sport, losing money. I remember first girl fell in love with. I remember her cheating on me. I remember the time I came out of depression. I remember looking back saying, fuck, I just spent 6 months of my life like a dead man, 6 months wasted. And I started getting tough, thick skin, and I started fucking feeling like a gladiator, saying, I don't care what comes in my way, I will win. Because I won't quit, and I know that I won't quit, but I know any other people will quit before me. So I knew that if I could win, I would do it with my work ethic. So I applied that mentality from wrestling. I knew that I lost in wrestling because of the shitty mindset. I knew that I lost in life because I was being a fucking pussy, period. Not going after what I wanted, denying my unique ability, denying my passion. So I started searching the internet for wrestling training. And Ryan Lee kept popping up, and everything was 97, 67. I was like, fuck, I ain't got no fucking money. I got this guy, everything. Everything about Ryan Lee was like, had to buy it. Back then, there was no blog, so there was like nothing free. Every time I typed in sports-specific training, wrestling workout, wrestling training, kept taking me back to his site. Google wasn't even popular. I think it was like Yahoo back then. So on eBay, there was like a wrestling, there were some dudes was selling all sport workouts. Wrestling workout, basketball, track and field, you name it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy this wrestling book, $14.95. I couldn't wait to get it. I can't remember how many days it took, but I was hawking the fucking mailman. I get it, and it's black and white photos, which is awesome. But it's like some dude working out from the fucking 70s with the sand weights, fucking sweatpants up to here, doing like fucking concentration curls. I was like, motherfucker, that's what's being sold on the internet? That guy just made my $15 that I didn't have? And that's how you train wrestlers? And that's when the switch went off. I'm like, I'm going to fucking crush it now. That's not how you fucking train. I just remember that, all that shit. He would like do bent over rows like this, squatting on his toes. I was like, I was like, son of a bitch, got my $14.95 plus shipping and handling. I think they still sell their shit on eBay, too. That's when I said, I'm going to be fucking committed to learning. I had these credit card jitters. So I hated pulling out that credit card because I was like, here we go again. Fucking more debt, more debt, more debt. I signed up for Ryan Lee's sports-specific site, personal trainer U site, and I just dived in on all that shit. I was living it. Everything back then was called functional training. And that shit fucking, that was the Kool-Aid back then. It was bullshit, and it convinced me. Everybody training on one foot, everybody on a stability ball, everybody using like fucking $10,000 cable apparatuses. And I remember looking at it, and I was like talking to my dad. I'm like, I think I need to get a bank loan to go buy that $10,000. It was like a tower that you could do like all this fucking shit. And I was like, do you think they'll give me a loan if I get this thing? Will I start getting, you know, like clients from this? Will I suddenly be awesome? But deep down, I was like, man, that is not in my gut. I want to be training kids on one leg. And I did it in the beginning. Everything. You had to like train people on the balance disc and all that shit. In my gut, I was like, fucking selling out right now. So I decided that I'm going to be a mad motherfucking scientist. I was like, you know what? I'm done with all this shit. I sold that stuff. I can't remember if I put it in like newspaper classifieds or eBay. I honestly can't remember. But I decided I'm going to train these guys with all the shit that was around me. The backyard, the playgrounds, running through the woods, everything. So I got this kid in the neighborhood. I said, dude, if you borrow your dad's truck and help me pick up some of this equipment, I'll fucking train you all summer for free. We went to this guy's house. He had a barn in the backyard, which never left my mind about having a gym and a barn. There was fucking weight plates stacked higher than me. I was like, I'll take 1045s, 1035s, 1025s. Deep down, I'm like, what the fuck do I need all that weight for? But I'm like, I ain't going to be that functional trainer shit. So I was like, give me all those rusty weights. Started training these guys out of the backyard, the shitty playgrounds that I told you about. I was training at a local park, the big park in Edison, and the ranger, the park ranger, did catch me. And I was like training on their turf field. I was fucking had my kettlebell there. I was like sweating. I remember my back was covered in green from the turf. It was new turf. He's like, hey, you guys really can't be doing it. And deep down in my head, I was like, we should just fucking run because nobody will catch us. I was getting into that real like crazy mode. And my friend just got married a week ago. I was the best man. I told them about the time we were running from the cops, and I was at the top of the hill. He was at the bottom. And I fucking remember running. I was like, that was what was in my head why I thought I could run. I was like, these cops are not going to catch me. And remember, I get to the top of the hill, say to myself, I'm in the clear, I'm safe. And he goes, Zach, come back down. And I was like, motherfucker, in 1985, there weren't a whole lot of kids named Zach in Edison. Fucking, I told him, I go, dude, I never forgave you for that shit because I was in the clear until you called my name telling me to come back. And the next day, I was grounded for a week and he was outside riding his bike. And I said, then I wanted to fucking kill you. So the summer ended. I trained two or three kids that summer. Summer ended. Started getting cold, business ended. I was in that little garage, no heat. Kids were going to start training at the regular gym. I said, I'm going to get committed to the learning. I'm going to train myself in the garage. I even created an ebook probably like a year ago on those workouts. I just kept buying equipment. I was stockpiling equipment to make myself uncomfortable, to force myself to grow. I went into Newark, which many of you know is one of the most dangerous cities in the country. I bought some shit from a guy in the storage garages. And I remember, he's like, let me just call my boy and he'll meet you there. And I remember being like real nervous. I was like, man, dude, is some weird shit going to go down? Do I have to be ready to fight? Like, I remember like placing some money in the car, not all of it in my pocket, just in case they were going to like fuck with me. And at that time, there was also a gym for sale. And I was a hardcore bodybuilder at heart. And I was saving money to propose to my wife. And Allie and V heard some of this story when I spoke at CrossFit affiliate gathering in Miami. But I had money, and the guy's gym was for sale for $10,000 in the hood. like big time in the hood. It was fucking right on the street. I did a video, like one of my first ever underground strength shows. They said it looked like Blair Witch Project just in the hood because I was scared. I like locked the door and I tried to get out. And I was like, oh, I locked the door. That gym, I remember being in that gym saying to myself, diamond ring, buy the gym in the hood. Diamond ring, buy the gym in the hood. And let me tell you, it was fucking close. It was close, but the girl won out. My wife knows that story too. She's not particularly impressed by my. She was like, "What the fuck were you even thinking?" I spent $97 on a Ryan Lee product. It was a life-changing product. I remember it said this guarantee. It took me like days to order it. I remember it said guarantee. You know, if you don't love it, send your money back. I'm like, guaranteed, I'll return the shit. It's probably a bunch of shit. I put the first CD, I was living with my parents, put in stereo, listened to it, said to take action, pause, boom, buy the website. Do this, boom. I took action after everything that was told to do. And one day I had a website up and running, and one day I had the niche. I was fucking cranking shit every day. I learned the investment mentality. I said to myself, I'm going to buy something for 97 bucks. I need to make 1,000 bucks back in 30 days. I did not make 1,000 bucks back in 30 days. But I still use that stuff that I learned. It was simple math, and I learned about multiple streams of income. Don't just trade your time for dollars. You got to fucking do shit online. You got to be able to coach other people. You have to be able to make money in your sleep. My big concern with many of you guys is you're just training people. But what happens if you can't train people? What happens if you go away on vacation? How are you making money when you're just not doing stuff? And we're going to be getting into that later on today. I was told that wrestling was a poor man's sport. I created that self-made website. It was a thing called Website Wizard. Trust me, it was not as easy as a WordPress blog. It was hellacious. It was ugly. It was like fucking purple font, blue font. It was horrible. The customer service was in Poland. So I was calling long distance all the time. My dad was fucking ready to kill me. But we've got this NTL communication rule, which is basically something about what I put in my head about when I communicate with people or when I should stop communicating with people, which was when I was reaching out to all these wrestling coaches. So I had something to prove. I had nothing to lose. So I fucking called all these coaches. I found all their email addresses and phone numbers. I would call, send the email. Next one, call, send the email. Boom, right down the list. I had many unsuccessful emails and phone calls with people that were starting to find out about me with my website. One dad fell asleep while I was talking to him on the phone. Yeah. And I remember he's like, oh, I dozed off there. I remember when I got off the phone with him, in my head, I was like, holy shit, I fucking sucked that bad. See, you guys see the front. You don't see the backstage. That was a lot of backstage shit. I was on the phone with 20, 30, 40 people, parents, coaches, no interest. Didn't know what to say. You want to know why? I was fucking learning to script everything. I didn't speak from here. Right here. Once I started listening and doing by this, that's when I started to win. I started to think, maybe I just need a gym and they'll believe that I'm a good coach. They'll believe in me. Maybe I just can't train out of my house. Went to Hawaii for my wife was maid of honor for her best friend's wedding. And out of those 30 emails, two guys connected back with me when I was there. 2 out of 28. That's a losing record for some. For me, I was like, dude, all I needed was one. I didn't even need two. Because now the momentum started going. I told them I was just starting to fucking let it go. I was shedding my skin, starting to say, time to be a bad motherfucker. I was like, listen, I'm starting my training out of my garage, just like you did. Give me a chance. Give me 10 minutes to show you that I could kick some ass. If you hate me, I'll leave. Give me 10 minutes, and I promise you, I'm going to fucking blow your mind. And the guy said, I'll let you come in. So I bought these bodyweight VHS tapes. Okay, that was a long time ago, right? They don't make that shit anymore. And it was Juan Carlos Santana's body weight training. And I studied him over and over and over again. And I was like, this is do or die. I got to show up to these fucking wrestling clubs and just crush this shit. I went to Kinko's on a work night. I was still teaching. I must have been there at 2 or 3 in the morning. The first wrestling club I went to was in Newark. I was like, here we go again. The fuck is with this? I was like, drawing me towards Newark. I remember pulling into the street that this was a prep school or Catholic school. And I remember pulling into the street and I was like, where the fuck do I park? Do I park on this side of the road, that side of the road? Like, I don't even know how to get in. I'm like calling the guy. I find my way into the school, into the wrestling club. That night before in Kinko's, I had made a bunch of binders with photos and wrestling workouts, and I decided that I'd be selling them for $20 when I'm at the wrestling club. I didn't know if I'd get kicked out after 10 minutes. I didn't even know if I was allowed to even fucking do that shit. When I showed up, the guy was handing me the money that he collected. I asked for, I think, $15, some cash, some checks. There was kids, like, paying me in the locker room. It was fucking ghetto, dude. But I was like, boom, I was stuffing like the side. I still have that red Adidas bag. I still have it. I had index cards. So I was like, here we go. I like study my index card real quick. And I was like, bang, bang, do this, do that. Yeah, jump, motherfuckers, do this, do that. Then they'd be like catching the breath. I go over there, flip the index card. Yeah, out there, look at this fucking dude. Then I go back, they'll be like, now we're going to do this. Then I give them like 3 or 4 more things to do. And I was like, damn, I'm starting to fucking get this. Hour goes by, the wrestling coach comes up to me, and I saw that guy wrestle when I was young. And I remember he won his wrestling match, and right after he raised his hand, I remember a guy like went to punch him. He was like, fucking Matrix. And I remember I was like, damn, dude, Coach Wally's telling me it's done, it's done. He started like training the other kids who didn't pay. I was here in like a little circle with like 6, 7 wrestlers that paid to get in. And I was like, you guys need to do this stuff when you're at home. You need to do this stuff when you're at home. They're like huddled around me. I'm like, yeah, this is how you got to train. Ah, oh, this was awesome. Then I saw their parents there. Remember, I walk over. Parents are like sitting against the wall. I go down to like put my stuff in my red bag. And I go, hey, I'm selling wrestling workouts. If anybody wants to train your son. Dude, they looked at me. And I swear to you, it's like this. It was like crickets. Trust me. I was shitting my pants. I was ready to say, it's okay, it's cool. But one parent said, how much is it? I said, $20. And somebody said, I have a check right now for $15 for cash. Will you take it? I did. Then they're like, all right, $15. They fucking like talked me down right there. I was like, $15 is good. I started selling those binders, and I remember I left, and then I got lost inside this fucking school, which is like a university. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm never gonna like escape. I'm fucking walking around this like dark school. It's a big school, right, Pete? It's a fucking huge school. And Paulie makes fun of me because I don't know who's who in the church. So I told him, I go, I think a priest found me. And I said, I don't know if I called him father or what I said, but I said, I'm lost. I was like sweating, sweating from the workout, sweating of being nervous that I'm never going to make it fucking out of here. And then like kids are going to be in the school when they find me in the morning. Guy gets me out. I fucking find my way out of Newark successfully. Then the next wrestling club, the guy that said yes, he had told me that there was going to be 30 kids at this wrestling camp. It was called like Iron Man Camp. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to fucking crush this. 30 kids. I did the whole thing. I got the binders ready. I was ready to kill it. But I didn't pick up any clients from the last club. I sold a couple $15 binders, but I didn't pick up any clients. So I spoke to this guy who was training trainers and coaches how to sell. And I bought his sales system, which was like $197. That was a lot of fucking money for me at the time, a lot. And even though they were trying to tell us, look, that's probably what, you know, 2 clients is going to get, you know. 2 clients will be $200 for you. He's like, you're going to go into that wrestling room, you're going to fucking say whatever you got to say. I don't care if you got to slash your prices in half to get them to fucking train with you. And I started thinking of my speech. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I spoke to him before I was going there. So I show up. I walk up the stairs. First time in this club. I'm ready for like a packed house of 30. There's fucking 6 kids there. It's quiet. I was like, hey, coach. He's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. He's like, these kids are a bunch of fucking pussies. He says that, like, right in front of the parents. I was like, all right. I was like, no big deal, no big deal. I walk over to the wall. I set up my index cards. I get them going. I take them through a warm-up. I had been studying the VHS tapes. I get them. We're in there probably 45 minutes. This is when I do the fucking speech that gave me goosebumps. This is when I finally, man, drew that line in the sand, started listening to my heart. I said, guys, if you want to win, you need to train with me. You guys are training at these gyms. You're doing all the wrong shit. You're not getting results. You need to do something that's different. If you train with me, you're going to be kicking ass. If you don't train with me, you're going to be in the stands watching us kicking ass. You're either fucking with me or you're not. And I was dropping those F-bombs. Either you're fucking with me or you're not. And I go, I've got a special offer, and it ends when I walk out that door. And this is when my stomach starts dropping, because there's like a couple dads sitting in chairs. There's another dad like off to the wall. And I go, normally, my price for training, and back then it was like sessions, it was like 12 sessions, $450. Today, only today, $250. Who wants to sign up? Yeah, it was like, nobody laughed, dude. It was like, and I was like, okay. Exit? I was just waiting. So, dad walks up to me like quietly because I'm starting to go to my bag. I'm like, great. That was fucking good one. Comes up to me while I'm at my bag like packing up. He goes, I've got two kids. He's like, can you do some sort of a discount, family discount for me? So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, this wasn't part of my speech. Discount? I got to fucking discount this guy? I'm like, $250. I'm like, $200 each. He goes, we could do it. Bang. Once a parent saw that guy do it, he goes, what do we got to do? I go, you got to give me a down payment of $20. Got to give me a $20 bill. $20 bill and you're committed. And then I gave them the whole fucking spiel of how to come. How to come to the gym. The two brothers signed up. Then another kid signed up. Got 3 out of 8. That was the fucking beginning. That was the momentum. Now I got to haul ass. From there, we bought a house. First thing we did was start setting up the garage. I paid my wife's uncles, who were contractors, to set up the garage. That was where the gym was going to be. We didn't live in the house for a year. The whole garage was being set up for the gym. It was fucking old, old house. I was prepared for hell. I'd been through hell. I fucking had all the tough times. I remember when we were talking about all the shit that we had to fix and the mortgage. Mortgage at that time was something like $2,000 and change to me. I was like, holy shit, that's like both of my teacher salaries. Like, then where does the money go? Like, how am I going to pay these contractors? We got into a fight in front of everybody, her uncles, her mom. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fucking pay for this. I was like, I don't have any fucking money. And that's when everybody was like, I'm sure her uncles were like, great, how do we get paid? And in my head, I was like, do they tow away the house when you can't pay for this shit? Like, how does this work when you can't pay for stuff? I started listening to my gut. I started training with all the fucking old school shit. I bought the kettlebells, $550 for a pair of 53s and a pair of 70s. And I remember I bought them from a guy who was an RKC. I remember carrying the 53s from his front porch to my car, which was like from here to Sean, our camera guy. And I was like, oh, these 53s feel heavy as fuck. Why did I buy 70s? I could barely hold on to these. I was like, damn it. We had logs, trees that were cut down. I had logs. I had my dad weld sleds. I went to the tire yard. I made tires, tire sleds. I pushed the truck around. We trained anywhere. The entry system to get into the house or into the garage was this. If we're training at 4, I say, you don't knock on my door. You wait until 4 o'clock. The garage door will open, and you will walk in. When you're in, I'll close the garage door, because I didn't want my neighbors to see that I'm running another illegal business. Training them in the backyard. I remember my neighbor, we were climbing a rope from Home Depot, and I remember I was like throwing the chain to like choke it around the tree. I almost lost my eye. I was like throwing it for 45 fucking minutes. I remember I was like, holy crap, going to kill myself here. We had the logs in the back, the sledgehammers. I remember my neighbor, she saw it. She's like, you're going to hurt your heart. I'll never forget that. She saw them carrying logs, climbing. All we did was carry the log, climb the rope, swing the sledgehammer. Start at 5 minutes. Then you're going 7 minutes, 10, 12. And I added 2 to 3 minutes every week. I got them to doing it for 20 minutes in a row. They started fucking killing kids. It was the beginning of, if you're a wrestler, you're going to go train with Zach if you want to win. I remember we were training at the schoolyard down the street from me. And I actually go there once a week, guys, to make sure that my boots are grounded, to remember where I came from, to remember the struggles that I went through, to make sure that I don't get too cool, that I'm too good to train, that I'm fucking shouldn't be in the gym, that I should only be marketing. I go there to remind myself that that's where I started, and that's where I feel most comfortable. Look at these barbells. They're covered with rust, not from, you know, water. That's from sweat. From sweaty hands grabbing those bars. That's where I started. That's where I feel the most comfortable, and I don't deny it anymore. I don't try to get rid of that. I don't care what any business coach says. Work on your business, not in your business. I'm fucking coach. I got to be in there. I remember training these guys out on the field. They'd be sprinting the hills, pushing my truck, dragging sleds across the grass. They loved that when the fucking custodians didn't cut the grass all summer long. Then they'd be at the playground. We had this like hellish course. And I remember they were sucking wind one day. And I remember screaming at them. I said, you think it's a fucking joke? I was like fucking Rocky versus Drago. I go, don't show me that you're fucking tired. I go, you got this small window of opportunity. Get the fuck up. Run. Push that fucking truck. They're like, ah. They didn't like know which way was left or right. But I remember when they did that, I had these goosebumps and I was like, I'm like fucking Mickey from Rocky. This is like, this is what I love to do. And the more I did that, the more I learned that that's who I am. Back in the day, I was pretending to be somebody I wasn't. And that's why I couldn't succeed. I stayed true to my mission. At the field one day, I remember undercover cops pulling up. Fucking dark, everything, dark windows. It's that four-door sedan. And whenever shit's going down, I always have like movie going through my head for some weird reason. But I was like, damn, they get out, sunglasses, suit and tie. I'm like, fuck, is this when we do this? These guys start walking real slow. They're like looking at each other. I'm like, don't know what the fuck's going on. My guys are training. Little did I know that they were going there to just hang out, chill out. They came. And they're like, yeah, what's going on here? I'm like, yeah, I'm a teacher in the school district, and I'm just helping so many athletes. They're like, oh, yeah, that's great. But in my head, I was like, fuck, I think I'm about to get arrested right now in front of these kids. And I remember I was like, if I have to do this, and I go in the car, I'll just be like, guys, like, call my wife and just get the shit back to the garage. But I had that mission. I created results. You must create results. You have to care. If you're not a great coach, maybe you're just a good coach, that's fine. You're going to get better today and tomorrow. If you're average or just good, you got to care. When you care, you'll become great. But if you care, people see that. Who's my boy? Are you my boy?
Yeah.
Give me some. Everybody's got tough handshakes here. James Kim. You got to care, and you can't fake it. Okay? You ever hear that thing like fake it till you make it? It's bullshit. Care and fucking live it for real. Live the code. You got two hands, that means you got to work more. You got two ears, you got to listen more. You got one mouth, you got to talk a little bit less and learn more. On AOL Instant Messenger, back in the day, this kid sent me an instant message. He purchased my first ebook and told me about some website in the UK that reviews ebooks that will interview me. Boom, he told me about that. Bang, I sent them my ebook, told them I'll write articles, told them to send me questions, interview me. Boom, I started doing all this shit for this website. Now I think it's like a porno site. I went back to it to check it out. I was like, damn, my articles and reviews are not up there anymore. But my first ebook was being sold in the UK. I wrote that ebook every time my wife would go to work at night. Ryan Lee said, write a chapter a week. I wrote a chapter a day. I finished that fucking thing faster than anybody. I knew that it was about the work ethic. Every day that I had a prep or lunch break, I'd call up Louis Simmons at his gym, at his house. I'd speak to Jim Wendler. I was making my own websites. I was constantly creating. I never stopped. I would use my teaching paycheck for web design. Back then, this dude that was working in the fitness industry for web design, it was at $50 an hour, $75 an hour. The busier he got, his rate kept going. I was up at like $275 an hour. I remember giving that dude my whole fucking paycheck to do a website. And I was like, damn, dude, this is getting crazy. I was kind of breaking even, but I knew that I would profit. I knew that if I just stuck to it, a lot of people quit. Here's the finish line for a lot of you. Here's where you quit. Right there. That's where you have to grind. You got to embrace the grind. You got to fucking step over. You got to be willing to be tough. That's why all the guys that are speaking, they're not just great coaches. They're very, very tough. They're mentally tough. They're basically like unbreakable. They've been through hell. You got to be willing to go through those hellish times. But you got to know that you'll win. You got to believe. I fucking believed. And that's why I knew I would make it. I was building the name for myself, developing relationships. I knew that if I keep investing in my education, I'll eventually win. So I came up with the 10 times rule. If you invest in it, you got to make 10 times back in the first 30 days. And that pushed me to take aggressive action. What's your rule when you invest? Do you have a rule? Write it down. What's your rule when you invest in something? Whether it's a training course, business, you're here at this seminar, you guys had different investments that you had to make to get here. What's your rule? You're here. What are you going to do with it? I invested $247, $297, $397. What are you going to do? I'm telling you now, every speaker that's up here, you need one actionable thing from each of them. You need a deadline, and if you don't meet that deadline, you suck. You have to fucking kill those deadlines. In 30 days from now, you need to be at least 10 times better. You need to make more money. That means you got to do better things for other people. You have to create and help more people. You won't make more money unless you're doing awesome stuff for people. I got comfortable being scared. I went to California when I was 22, spent 2 weeks on some dude's floor. My brother was in the Israeli army with him. He said, anytime you want to come out, come out. I thought I'd never be happy in New Jersey. I got to go to California. I got to go where there's palm trees and fucking blonde women. Blonde women everywhere. I went to California, and as each day passed, I started, making the excuses. Oh, I got to go back. I got to go back to my job. I can't leave that job. I don't have anything lined up here. I made excuses. You could do whatever you want. You could. Nowadays, it's so easy, it's not even funny. That's why I get mad at people if they're not succeeding, because it's so easy today compared to when I was doing this shit. I started the illegal home gym business. I used my sick days to go to seminars, to listen to teleseminars. I was scared when I had to rent the underground. I walked in there many times. This place looks huge. That's too much money. I can't do this. I won't have enough clients. How am I going to do this while I'm still a teacher? But I fucking did it because I said, you got to get comfortable being scared. You got to take some jumps. You got to be scared. Gary Vaynerchuk, heard an interview with him, kept emailing him, telling him, I want to learn from you, bro. Let's do some coaching. I was harassing him through email. He's like, this guy ain't serious. This guy's not serious. I was like, this guy has no clue how fucking crazy I am. I was waiting for him to say the dollar amount that it would cost. He's like, I'm expensive. You don't want to do this. I'm like, so what? I'm like, tell me how much it is. I'll make it back in 30 days. I knew that I might not make it back in 30 days. If it was real expensive, I'd have to do the one-year plan. But he told me $10,000. Then somehow, some way, it went to like seven or five, and then he's like, fuck it, you're fucking awesome, $3,000. I met him in a Costco where he was doing a book signing, took out the envelope, check, gave it to him, we hugged it out. He's like, yeah, we're going to do a couple hours. We're going to go out, get a nice meal. We'll talk about this, that. I was like, oh, cool. He's going to do like 3 or 4 hours. I go to his wine library. If anybody ever watched that, I brought him that Jets helmet that he always spits in. We went to Taco Bell, by the way. He was on that clock. He was hawking it. We did exactly 60 minutes, 0 seconds. But he gave me the green light to start being me. He's like, fuck all that ebook and long sales letters and hype and all that affiliate shit. He's like, you got to get on video and you got to start being you. And he gave me this green light. And I remember saying to myself, dude, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't comfortable doing the shit I was doing. GFGI. This is a seminar that Paulie does that some of you will be going to the next one. It is the motto that I live by. Go fucking get it. I started getting scared, and I did everything that scared me. I decided I'm going to quit the job, $94,000, $300, blah, 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 pension, health benefits, this, that. I took the jump. I started getting used to being scared. It's something I thrived on. We sold our beautiful renovated home in a down market. My wife said, should we sell this house? I said, put the sign out there. We used to drive down to the beach. Kids would fall asleep. We'd drive around. I'd see all these kids riding their bikes. I said to myself, this is where we gotta raise our kids. This place is amazing. And it made me nervous, but I thrived on it. We bought the new house while I was on leave from teaching. Everybody said, don't do that. I did it. This conference scared the hell out of me. Most of you that know me know I do 10 to 15 people. 50 people scared me. That made me nervous. But I said, you know what? If I just fucking do it, the way will come. TC and Pulley were like, dudes, we're fucking wingman. We'll help you make it happen. The speakers stepped up. They're like, I will do it. They're here. I just took the action and everything fell into place. You guys got to stop denying who you really are. You got to get some sort of green light that allows you to be who you are. For 6 months, I made videos 5 to 7 days a week. 6 a.m. to 1 a.m. was a normal work day. I'd work on my lunch while the teachers went out to lunch. I'd work on my prep. I worked around the clock. The mistakes I made, guys, I partnered with the wrong people to chase the money, making products that just were not connected to me. And you want to know what? Those products flunked because you could see right through it. Now everybody knows who I am. You know what I'm about because I tell you the truth. I tell you exactly what's here. Yesterday, somebody like sent me an email and said, fuck off with your emails. So I checked his Facebook to see if he was like a bad dude. I go, I checked your Facebook. I go, you should be more respectful and you shouldn't say that kind of shit. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was like an automated computer-generated email. I go, no, that's me. I had to make sure it wasn't like a 220-pound dude that I was going to be like, you fucking pussy. I did the double check. And I also wanted to make sure, is he in Jersey? Is he going to meet me at my gym? Come fuck me up. I was always looking for one thing to change my business. One thing. Paulie kept telling me, it's not going to be one thing. Those first few months are going to be tough. He goes, but you're going to make it. And there really was one thing that I was missing was I didn't have a team. I didn't have Megs. I didn't have my other two coaches at the gym. Me and Paulie and TC weren't operating as a team. The other people that work with me, even with the certification, even with this, I got the team and that changed everything. Because it's not about me. It's about everybody, you know, success together. I know it sounds corny, but that's the truth, man. That's the truth. What's really important and how do you determine if you're doing the right thing? Well, only you really know if you're doing the right thing. But the way I do it is, as I always say, can I tell my family what I do at the end of every day and look them in the eyes and they are proud of me for what I did? If I can't make my kids proud or my wife proud, then I didn't do the right thing. There was no integrity in that. To me, I can't tell them, hey, I promoted somebody's ebook that I don't believe in that I know doesn't help anybody. That wouldn't settle with me. That wouldn't settle with my family. That's what I do. You need to write down or maybe just plant it in your head and figure out at the end of the day, how do you know you did the right thing? What things need to get accomplished for you? For me, it's I got to be able to look my family in the eye as well as my close friends and tell them, you know, what I've done and for them to be proud of me. So only you truly know that. And in the end, that just comes back to where we started. You got to live the code. That's it. And that's what every coach that's going to be speaking here is probably really going to drive home to you. I want you guys to take one thing from every coach. I want you committed to every part of this conference. Okay? You're here to learn. Don't try to take from anybody here. Give them something. That's how you're going to win. Don't try to be like, hey, man, Can you do this for me? Can you promote that for me? Hey, I do this. Help each other. Okay? That's how your best partnerships and friendships come about. Don't be afraid to ask for help. That's one of the codes that Paulie and I and a couple guys here in a small group, we live by. You know what we say? We say, pussies do stuff alone. If you think you're going to do everything alone, you're wrong. And you want to know how we came up with that? We said, how come Navy SEALs work together? They don't do anything alone. They always got a swim buddy or a small team. And don't worry, guys, we ain't dressing up in camos thinking we're Navy SEALs. We know that ain't the truth. I tried telling Paul, he showed up in camos. I go, come on. Don't try to fake it. I'll send Quattro Deuce and Brad a photo. I'll fuck you up. He goes, I'll go change. Don't be afraid to ask people for help. That's how you'll know who your real friends are. You need my help? Ask me. You need anybody's help in here? There's some real, you know, unique people around here doing kick-ass stuff. There's a lot of stuff to be learned. Okay? Huge, huge thanks. Saying thanks and all this is just not enough. You guys being here, I love it so much. All the coaches are going to kick ass. My boy, Jason C. Brown, rolled up. Is he here? Where'd he go? He stepped out. So we're going to take a quick... We got five... It's my boy right there. He's going to... You're going to tell him some stories about the shit we used to do? No, you're not going to tell him the stories? Oh, he will. We got a five-minute break. Go use the restroom. Go do whatever you got to do. Go call up whoever's important you said and just tell him. Just be like, that dude Zach fucked it up. Okay? We got 5 minutes, guys.